Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. We have some breaking news for you. Breaking news for you, which we will get to in mere seconds. The Doug Gottlieb Show is here on Fox Sports Radio. We hope you had a fantastic holiday weekend. Your weekend is not nearly as good as Pat Mahomes' weekend. Oh, boy. So I did on some level want to get to this tweet, but instead we'll get to a different tweet. Adam Schefter, the Chiefs and their quarterback Pat Mahomes have reached an agreement on a 10-year deal. 10-year! This is from Adam Schefter. The contract extension ties into Kansas City through the 2031 season, league sources tell ESPN. So I guess the question is going to be, how much money is it? How much money is it? What do you think? Music, how much money do you think it is? What is the final tally? Right? Because the guess is that it's all about average per year, right? Salary per year. And, you know, you're thinking somewhere in the mid to upper 30s. And the question becomes, how long is the contract versus how long is the contract guaranteed? Where is the real money? And it's an interesting tweet as we're trying to figure it out, and Schefter has it. Not really a surprise. There was some talk about this deal not being reached until the end of next season. Obviously, the Chiefs think otherwise now. And what you get is not just the best young quarterback in football, but you get cost certainty for all these times. Which is fascinating because we have so much uncertainty in terms of what the cap is going to look like in future years. So, music, what do you think? What do you think the average per year total is? I would guess that it looks like it's 40, but is really closer to 35, 36. That is my guess. And I think that's going to be a really interesting one. So, however you handled your 4th of July, it seems like Pat Mahomes feels had a better one, right? It's like, man, that's like your fireworks show. Yeah, we had a couple of sprinklers out in the yard, and then somebody next to you launches some big grenade that explodes in the air, and the entire neighborhood is around. Byer, what are you guessing here on total?
I think on average, I don't even know on total, but I think on average it'll be around $38.5 million will be the number I'll say.
$38.5 million, okay. So look, over 10 years, that will look like $380 million. You and I know, and I think most people know, that that's not really how much money it is, right? But it'll look like, so you're saying $380 on average.
Well, I just...
I mean, 38 on it.
38 and a half, yeah, because I think it's going to be... Because Russell Wilson, I believe, was the highest annual at $35 million. And so I think it's going to be significantly... And I think $3 million gap is significant considering there's about five quarterbacks within that $2 million, $33 to $35 million. I think it's going to be, that significant gap.
Hmm.
And then Dak Prescott's deal should be at least figured out then if this number is set.
Yes. On the other hand...
Completely separate topic, but...
No. It's not actually a separate topic. You're actually right. So, and for people who don't know, Dan has his Sunday show. You hear him throughout the week here on Fox Sports Radio. You're right, though, because what happens is now you're like, well, Dak Prescott, he signed for the franchise tag. It was at $33 million, I think, this year. But which is the average of the top 31. So, okay, so it's the average of the top five salaries. But ultimately, he'll want to be, the big quest was to be the highest paid guy. And I don't think there's any way the Cowboys can make him the highest paid guy. If it goes to $3.5 million or $3 million more than the highest paid guy, which is Russell Wilson, which, by the way, wasn't just signed this last week, right? It's not like, but that is sort of resetting the market. But I don't think it truthfully resets Dak Prescott's market, because no one I know thinks Dak Prescott is in Patrick Mahomes' league. The interesting part is going to be, how do they arrange the money? And the guess is that a substantial chunk of the money, like, let's see what their cap situation is this year. Can they pay him some this year? But when the new TV money comes in, that's when you'll see a bunch of his money go on the salary cap. You can't hide it forever, although you can kick it down the road. Why do you do a 10-year deal? Well, some so that you spread out the money, some so that you make it look like it's a whole lot more money than it is, but also so that the Chiefs basically will maintain Pat Mahomes' rights for up to 10 years. Now, if he ever wants to renegotiate, because there's non-guaranteed parts of his deal, he could sit out, but he will be under contract with the Chiefs basically forever, which I would say is a good thing, but you have to sign away something else. All right, we'll get you some of those dollar figures in a second. That's one of those deals where no one disagrees. The question becomes, can the Chiefs continue to put pieces around him, not just on offense, but also on defense, considering the bill for Pat Mahomes is going to go up substantially, likely starting next year. That's what the contract extension looks like. Now, they tear it up. They give him a bunch of money up front. That will tell you where they are with their cap in terms of their spending, and are they done for the year? Are they reworking anybody else's deal? So, 10-year deal, Pat Mahomes, probably looks like $380 to $400 million. The question is, as Dan Beyer pointed out, what is the average per year and what is the real, real money? And that we just don't know. Let me get to what was the story of the day before Pat Mahomes got a deal. And that's the president tweeting at Bubba. So, look, this has happened before in sports, and I do think Bubba Wallace, of course, the only black driver who's a regular on the NASCAR circuit, right? He chose a very, very simple retort instead of going right back at the president. The president tweeted, "Has Bubba Wallace apologized to all those great NASCAR drivers and officials who came to his aid, stood by his side, and were willing to sacrifice everything for him, only to find out the whole thing was just a hoax? That and flag decision has caused lowest ratings ever." Bubba Wallace tweets out, "To the next generation of little ones following my footsteps, love wins. Your words and actions will always be held to a higher standard than others. You have to be prepared for that. You don't learn these things in school. You learn these things from trials and tribulations, the ups and downs the crazy world provides. You always have people testing you, seeing if they can knock you off your pedestal. I encourage you to keep your head high and walk proudly on the path you have chosen. Never let anybody tell you you can't do something. God put us here for a reason. Find out that reason and be proud of it. Work your tails off every day towards it. All the haters are doing is elevating your voice and platform to much greater heights." It's perfect. Because what it does is, it's a retort, but it doesn't answer him directly, doesn't respond to him directly, and that's not needed. I think, this is just me thinking out loud, right? I believe, and I've told you, like, when we followed the Bubba Wallace thing, we were on air when there was the procession in the pit, and he took that picture, and I mentioned how emotional it was and how galvanizing it seemed to be. And then when we looked further into the story, we said, something doesn't really make sense or feel right about this story. And then Bubba got defensive when people called it a hoax. And you have to understand what a hoax is. A hoax is something with the intent to deceive. Look, I don't believe that the rope pull or noose was meant for Bubba. I think it was there before. It may have been a joke. It may have been just used as a really good slip knot. I have no idea, because it was there for almost a year. That's not my point. It wasn't, no one believes, or at least NASCAR, the FBI that sent, you know, over a dozen investigators, doesn't believe it was meant for him. I'll take their word for it. It doesn't stop that from being a galvanizing moment. Bubba didn't look great when he did a couple interviews the night of, and even with Dan Patrick the morning before we found out the FBI statement, which was, you know, a day removed from it. But that didn't stop it from being really emotional and showing how NASCAR is united to kind of rid themselves of some, not most, some of the evils of the past, which is great. It's just it's a classic misunderstanding and a bit of an overreaction by Bubba, but there was never, I didn't feel like there was any calling out of any specific group or even of the president. Now he's doing, this is by par for the course, by the way. This was by his estimation, a winner when he trolled the NFL 3 or 4 years ago. It's not a winner now. It's just not. Do I think to his base it is? Yeah, but that base appears to be shrinking. And we're just in this weird place where it feels like he's going with his old playbook, and that old playbook is met with, instead of going right back at him, just kind of ignoring him. Yep. Yep, this is what happens. There will be people who challenge you. Look, Bubba took a bit of a victory lap when he didn't, you know, I think he enjoyed the attention a little bit. I think he enjoyed being the guy that stood up for himself and for his race. And I don't see that as a horrible thing. I don't see that with evil intentions. And as much as I do believe there was an overreaction to the initial, to the rope, I don't believe it was a hoax, because a hoax is with the intent to deceive. And I don't think it was the intent to deceive. Nobody has actually accused that of happening, with the exception of the president and some conspiracy theorists. I mean, look, the president of the United States, he did the thing with the birth certificate. He's done these tweets before with sports leagues. This is how he believes he came to power. Whether or not it's true or not, that's what he believes. And in the past, everybody's rushed to it and rushed to whoever he tweeted at. And it has been a back and forth. And because he's the president, ultimately, he had the support of enough people. Even the NFL would back down from him. I think those days are gone. I think. Coming up next, Cam Newton is tired. Not tired of working out. Not tired of success. He's tired of being humble. Has he ever really been humbled? We'll discuss next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. New England Patriots had themselves a new quarterback. His name's Cam Newton. Rob Parker is going to join us. Of course, Odd Couple, Inside the Parker. We'll ask him about baseball. Also, I think there's a good Kaepernick discussion to be had. Patriots' new quarterback, who posted on Instagram video of himself working out shirtless, proclaiming, "I'm getting tired of being humble now." Okay, this one I don't really get. When was that moment? When was that moment? Like, I'm getting tired of being humble. When were you humble? You know, which is, look, it's fine. I mean, but let's just not act like, let's not act like this dude is actually humble in any way. So I think I understand that Cam Newton is, you know, can only be himself, right? That's all he can be. All he can be is himself and nobody else. And so I look at it and think, this is totally on brand for him. You know, he is a very, very confident dude. Rightfully so. He's had a marvelous career, but he hasn't in any way been humbled yet. And so the idea of "I'm getting tired of being humbled" is kind of comical to those of us paying attention. Kind of comical. Let's get you to Dan Byer and find out what else is going on. DB, what do you got?
Doug, still no numbers associated with the amount of the contract that Patrick Mahomes could get. ESPN's Adam Schefter, the first one with this, that Mahomes and the Chiefs have agreed on a 10-year extension that would keep him under contract through the 2031 season. As part of that extension, it would be added on to the 2 years remaining on his rookie deal. So in all, Patrick Mahomes would be under contract with the Chiefs for the next 12 seasons. NASCAR driver Bubba Wallace responding to a tweet from President Trump today by saying, quote, always deal with the hate being thrown at you with love, love over hate every day, even when it's hate from the President of the United States. Major League Baseball says some of the results of COVID-19 tests were delayed because of the holiday weekend, and they don't see it being an issue in the future. The Nationals, Astros, and Cubs were just some of the teams dealing with delays in tests for their players. Texas Rangers slugger Joey Gallo tested positive for COVID-19, while Braves outfielder Nick Markakis says he won't play in 2020 after having a conversation with teammate Freddie Freeman, who is ill and exhibiting symptoms after he tested positive for coronavirus. PGA Tour has changed course and will no longer allow fans to attend next week's Memorial Tournament in Dublin, Ohio. Doug, back to you.
Of course, that's a tournament that Tiger Woods has performed incredibly well in. Well, more on golf upcoming with our Dan Beyer. Let's welcome in Rob Parker joins us. Of course, The Odd Couple is the radio show. You can see him on all our shows on Fox Sports 1. And you can check out Inside the Parker. That is his baseball-only podcast. Let's start with the news of the moment, which is Pat Mahomes. Is there a number which is too high for the Chiefs to sign Pat Mahomes to?
No. And how you doing, Doug? I guess whatever, you're only worth what someone's willing to pay you. I've always said this. So whatever they think he's worth, then that's what the number is. There is no right number. People, I always laugh at people who always talk about how much money and all this other stuff. You know this. If you can get somebody, I mean, people in Hollywood have gotten them to pay them $20 or $30 million a picture to work for 3 months and make a movie, and people are cool with that. But if an athlete cashes out and somebody wants to pay them with all the, you know, gobs of television money and all the other stuff that's out there, more power to them.
I don't think anybody is no one will be bothered with the however much money Pat Mahomes gets. I think the only issue you run into is, what is the limit to which you can pay a guy and still put the type of roster that they've had around him, right? Like Chris Jones wants a new contract. You know, he's got Tyreek Hill on a discount deal because of the nonsense Tyreek Hill has been involved in off the football field. But, you know, there are always, you know, he's going to have to continue to build the offensive line, the defense. Like, he's great, but he was under a rookie deal. Now when he's making mid-upper 30s, you know, can they sustain all the other players around him? That's really the only question in terms of limitations.
That's not his issue, and I don't know why people worry about that. The Kansas City Chiefs hadn't won a Super Bowl, what, in 50 years or whatever it was, hadn't won a championship. So they won one. He's already gotten them one, and if they can somehow win another one or maybe three, Doug, then no matter what it is, it's worth it. Look at all the organizations who have paid people like the Detroit Lions and Matthew Stafford, who haven't even won a playoff game in a decade, 11 years. Those are the people should be worried about eating up the cap space because they don't win anything. Kansas City, they've already won. Whatever they get after this, I'm sure they rewarded the guy, and they feel like, you know, no matter what it is, as far as taking away from other people or whatever, it's just the nature of the business. And that's for the people upstairs to figure out and get lucky and work some other deals and have people take less money or whatever it is. But I believe in getting every dime that you're entitled to or your market value. I don't believe in giving hometown discounts, worrying about the cap and the general manager and the owner, because We saw in New England, Tom Brady kept taking all these hometown discounts and pay cuts, and all everybody ever said was they never got him any other star players or any other great players on offense to help him. So what was the point on taking cuts?
They won games because he had a great team around him.
No, but I'm talking about last year and other years when they claim he didn't have anybody. I'm saying I don't believe in that, Doug. That to me is that's for the team to figure out. That's
right,
and the
team
out.
Can figure out what's the limit we can pay you and still putting guys around them. There's a certain math to it. You can't just give a guy a blank check and go, hey, write it out, we're good, whatever. Like, that's not the way it works.
That's not the way it works in any business.
You don't have to believe in it. That's the way the business works.
I mean, but
they are going to pay him. But, like, look, there's a reality to it. It's like, look, You can't.
But you're talking about the future. You're talking about other things that you can't control. Oh, this guy wants to get paid. That guy. That's going to happen. Right now, I have the best quarterback in the NFL.
Correct.
He won me a Super Bowl. He's won an MVP.
No one's disputing that.
I'm going to pay him. So what's the?
I didn't say you don't pay him. There's a limit there, right? And you got to figure out like what's the limit. Can we put a team around him? I mean, look at all the guys who the top earners. Right? The guy with the biggest salary cap number in the NFL, the last 10 years, 8 of them haven't made the playoffs. Why? Because it's really hard to put a team around them. That's what it is. It's just hard. There's a hard number with the cap. They'd love to give, you know, I mean, it's like any business. Like there's a reason that Colin and Skip make what they make. You can't pay everybody those numbers because the company has to make money as well. So you have, they want to make money. There's also basically a revenue split with the players, and you have to figure out that within that salary cap structure, how much can we pay you and still give you other weapons? Like, look, one of the reasons he was able to win a Super Bowl. Is he great? Yes, sure. Okay. But he also, Sammy Watkins was his fourth best wide receiver. We think Travis Kelce's not going to want to get paid. He got Tyreek Hill. They only got Tyreek Hill on a discount because of the domestic violence stuff. Right. I mean, they were able to go out and get dudes and acquire defensive talent as well, a solid offensive line. It is more that no one has ever won it by themselves. And you can say, Tom, like, what did Tom Brady get? He got 9 Super Bowls.
He did.
6 Super Bowl wins.
But I'm just saying, my point is, people, GMs make bad decisions with the money. I'm not leaving it in the hands of giving up money for somebody to spend. There's been plenty of teams that have gone out and spent money, Doug, and they don't win or they sign the wrong people. So my point is, that doesn't automatically mean because you leave money for other people that you're going to win anything. That's my point.
But has their general manager done a good job?
I'm just talking about in general.
I understand, but did they fix their defense?
But I'm just saying it ain't a guarantee because you give up money.
No question.
Or you take less. So I'm just not in that camp, and I'll never buy into it. The salary cap is a phony number made up by owners to limit the amount of money. It is.
What are you talking about?
It's a free market system.
No, it's not a free market.
You have
a union.
It should be a free market system. Yeah.
You have a union. A union does not make it. When you collectively bargain an agreement, it's not a free market system anymore. You're speaking about something that is not accurate.
All right,
it's not
so baseball players, they don't get whatever they can bargain for. What is the difference, Doug?
They negotiated a completely different deal where there's
a luxury tax.
So
but
the New
they
York
still,
Yankees
that doesn't stop people from getting paid top dollar.
I understand. Okay, they do get paid top.
The NFL's number and the NBA's number are phony numbers.
No, they're
made
not.
Up. They
no,
are.
No, they're not.
How
do they
made
how,
up.
How do they come to the math? How is the salary cap calculated? Okay, in the National Football League.
Doug, you don't have to do it that way. You know what you do? You have an open market system. The best players
get
the most
money.
And the scrubs don't get paid.
Yes, good. Okay, but here's the problem with that. Okay, that's pure capitalism. That's what you want, right? All right. I'm not parsing words. You familiar? You remember what happened when they had the non-cap year, the uncap year? Do you remember that? Do you remember what happened? See, the thing about no salary cap means there's not just no ceiling, there's no floor, which is what happens in Major League Baseball. So these guys don't make anything, nothing in comparison to some of the top earners. So you have the rich and you have the poor and you have very little in between. And that's what a salary cap does, is it helps fill in those in between. They had a non-salary cap year in the NFL and it was a disaster for the players because that's exactly what would happen. Pat Mahomes would get a bunch and everybody else would get nothing. And that's the way it works in business.
That's where most people live in this country. That's what we have.
And you're okay with, and
Doug,
you're saying you're okay with that.
You don't make the same as Colin. Fox doesn't go to you. They have a budget, yes. But if they want to give you more money than me, they'll give you more money because they think you're worth more than I am. All I'm saying is the reason that stuff all came into play is so that they don't drive the cost up. because they're afraid that one rogue owner is going to come out and sign people of these big money, and then they'll have to be able to justify not paying other guys on that level.
No, that's really what it ain't about, competitive balance.
It ain't about any of that stuff.
Look at baseball. You're using baseball as an example, and you're walking right into it. Okay, but the Miami Marlins have been doing this where they're not paying anybody. And they're collecting, basically, the Yankees are subsidizing
them. The Miami Marlins have won 2 championships in the last 20 years. I'll wait, and you can tell me how many the Yankees have won, and how many the Detroit Tigers have won, how many the Red Sox have won. You could go through baseball. Baseball's had more
I'm not talking about competitive than any other sport.
The NBA has the same three teams.
You have teams that not only tank, but then they tank financially and they just won't spend anything. And so that's what the salary cap does. And when they had a non-salary cap year in the National Football League, all these dudes thought, we're all going to get paid. It's an open market. And what happened? None of them got paid because they're represented by a union. And the union says, hey, what are the greatest number of people that we have want? And that's the low-end dudes to get paid more money. So they sign up for that, and it limits what the top earners make. But the truth is that I think Pat Mahomes can get by on 35, 36, 37 million.
It's not whether or not you care what he can get by on. That whole nonsense about you think he can get by on. It's about the industry, Doug, and how much money is made. That whole, well, I don't know what the difference is between 37 and 35. How come he can't take 30? It's generational wealth. I don't understand. What's the difference? What the difference is, go look at what the owners make. What do you mean? I think the owners can make 8% on their money, on their return, and return the rest of the money to the fans. How about that? How long would the league be open? The league would be closed down. Do the owners make enough money for you or not?
Rob, do you operate a business?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, and what is the percentage of return on your investment on a yearly basis that you make?
20%.
Okay. So if somebody say you're making 20% on your money, and somebody says, hey, why don't you make 8% and then give it back? How would you feel about that?
It depends on who's talking about
it. You would do whatever.
No,
stop lying.
Please stop lying to me. My point is this whole notion that you're going to sign off on what's good enough for somebody else. I hate that talk.
You can hate that talk all you want. Where does that come from?
I'm asking you. Who are you to say he can't live on 37?
Because it's a reality of this monopoly money. It's the same thing when you talk about CEO.
Wait.
It's the same thing you talk about CEO compensation. It's the same thing. A CEO can make $50, $60, $70 million. But what's the point? Like, what is the point? The point is for everybody to get paid as much as humanly possible.
Ask Roger Goodell, who makes $40 million and make one tackle or sell one ticket. Ask Roger Goodell. Why does he make $40 million, Doug?
Why don't you tell him that $20 million ain't enough?
Would you like me to tell you?
Okay. So before Roger Goodell, when he took over, they had the lawsuit, the concussion lawsuit. Right. So this is Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Rob Parker's my guest. He's a co-host of The Odd Couple, which airs at 7 on the East Coast, 4 on the West Coast. Of course, you can see him on Fox Sports 1 and download the Inside the Parker podcast. When he took over, they had the concussion lawsuit. The estimates from lawyers were that it was going to cost $2 billion to settle that thing. They settled it for less than $1 billion. And the way to generate that was they moved 3 teams. Raiders, Rams, Chargers. And with relocation fees, that is roughly $2.1 billion, $750 million or so. It's roughly $2 billion. That's how they paid for it, with none of the owners having to come out of pocket. So they're forever indebted to him. Additionally, Thursday Night Football wasn't around. So he had Thursday Night Football. First Network, I think it was CBS, overpaid for it. Then they split it with NBC. And then Fox came in after a couple of disappointing years of CBS and NBC, and Fox paid more money. None of that existed before Roger Goodell. Additionally, he's opened up avenues to China. He's opened up avenues to play more games overseas. In other words, he is helping them make more money, and he continues to generate more and more wealth for his team, for his owners, for his players, and that's why he makes $40 million, because that's a drop in the bucket.
Can't justify it.
Why can't you?
No commissioner. Because.
Why can't you?
That doesn't matter. matter who's running this league, the way it's set up and the television deals have nothing to do with Roger
Goodell.
It doesn't? He didn't know. It doesn't. It doesn't.
Okay.
It's what it's the number one television show for the last decade.
I agree.
Right? So when you go there and you negotiate with these guys,
leadership doesn't matter.
It does matter, but it doesn't matter $40 million worth. That is not. That's way over compensation. He has lifetime health care.
He's overcompensated. Who are you to say he's overcompensated?
I'm telling you, he's overcompensated.
Who are you to say he's overcompensated?
I'm the overcompensated police on Fox Sports Radio.
You just said. How would you ever say you can live on that overcompensated?
No,
everybody should get what they should get. You're saying is Pat Mahomes should get what he can get, but the guy who helps run the league and negotiate deals, which is worth 10 times what Pat Mahomes generates for the Kansas City Chiefs, shouldn't get paid whatever he can negotiate.
My point is, you could say whether, if you want to say Pat Mahomes is overpaid,
I don't
that's
think he's
your
overpaid.
Opinion.
I don't think
but,
he's overpaid.
But for you
I don't
to
think
say,
there's,
no,
listen,
the difference
I want to make
is,
sure this is clear, Rob. This is clear. I don't think there's a level to which, I think he's the best young quarterback in the league, and it's not really all that close. I think there's others that may be as good or better quarterbacks, but considering how long a career he's going to have and how his skill set fits, what quarterbacks are going to look like, he's great. I have nothing, I would pay, but the problem is, you have the limitations of working for somebody who's going to want to make a profit. In addition to the fact that as an employee, there's also a salary cap because you're part of a union that's negotiated the salary cap. And so you have to fill out a team around you. You need 52 other guys. So you can't just take everything there. You got to leave some on the table.
Problem.
So yes, it is your problem.
No, it's not.
Okay, so listen, if you want to drop back and get your ass kicked every time you take a snap, you got to leave some money for your offensive line. That's the way it works, Rob. That's the reality of the sport. It's called the world's greatest team sport, not how much can we pay Pat Mahomes?
And that's what Matthew Stafford did in Detroit when he became the highest paid player in the NFL a couple years ago. He took less on a downtrodden team that's won one playoff game since 1957. Nobody asked Matthew Stafford to take less. He got what was on the table for the quarterback whose time had come. And that's my point, Doug. Why? Have you asked Matthew Stafford to return money
to get him help on the offensive line to build this team? You're doing the Boston. Rob, I love you, but you're doing the Boston thing, right? Where everything goes back to Detroit, where you've called home, you own businesses,
no,
you've been successful radio and a writer.
I'm relating it to his money. That's why.
Who's been the most successful quarterback for the last 20 years in the NFL?
Tom Brady.
Okay, how's he done financially? He's made $230 million or something of his salary. He's done pretty well. He's also done really well because he hasn't taken top dollar, and it's allowed the team to be built around him. I got one last thing for you. Kaepernick said he tweeted out a video, which James Earl Jones reading this incredible piece by Frederick Douglass that was written in the 1850s. But Kaepernick said he won't celebrate the 4th of July because it celebrates white supremacy. I'm not quoting it verbatim, but that is part of what he said. Is he still hireable in the NFL?
Absolutely, because it's about football. They've hired felons, people who have had vehicular homicide, guys who have raped women, guys who have beat children. Yeah, he's hireable because those words are not nearly, Doug, as damaging and as terrible as some of the things that people have done who wear NFL uniforms, who've been given second and third chances. Those people are employed. His words and his beliefs are his alone. There are people who have done worse. And I don't see why he can't play football and be a quarterback in the NFL.
That's Rob Parker. Check out Inside the Parker. It's a podcast about baseball, which we think will get back underway, although some of his camps are closing. Of course, you can check him out with Chris Broussard on The Odd Couple every night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific. And you'll see him on Undisputed, on Colin Cowherd's show, on Speak for Yourself, on all the shows on the TV side. Rob, great stuff. Good talking to you.
Have a great day, as always.
You too. Rob Parker, the crazy uncle, arguing. And I want to point this out, that he actually gave praise to Tom Brady. He did. Now, he basically says he's a bad negotiator, but he did give praise to Tom Brady, saying he's been the most successful. Because it's inarguable his success. It's whether or not he's that great, which is Rob's point. Tonight, we actually have some great news about real sports. I'll tell you what that is next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. How was your 4th of July? That's a big question. If you live in Southern California, and Ramos and I talked about this off air, Byer, I'm not sure if you experienced this. We all live in different parts. But there was, you know, all the fireworks displays, you know, the city sponsored ones were canceled. But, you know, maybe it's proximity to Mexico where they're easy to purchase. Because remember, most parts of California, the big ones that are illegal, but obtainable. Man, if fireworks being illegal and fired off in Southern California was like going to a Phish concert before weed was legal. It's like, all right. I mean, it was really, really a lot. I mean, I felt like more fireworks on Saturday than any time I had ever seen. But there's a lot to get to here. Look, I believe that the flag protest debate is in some ways similar to what I want to talk about with Colin Kaepernick. So Colin Kaepernick, who, of course, I mean, like, I don't have to introduce who he is, you guys. So he tweeted out, black people have been dehumanized, brutalized, criminalized, and terrorized by America for centuries and are expected to join your commemoration of independence while you enslaved our ancestors. We reject your celebration of white supremacy and look forward to liberation for all. Now, there's a bunch of different levels to this, okay? The idea, though, that the 4th of July is a celebration of white supremacy and look forward to liberation for all, that is promoting the idea that black people are not free, which, do I think there's an quite obvious problem in terms of the reality of police brutality? Yeah. Yes, I do. I think whatever level of perceived and maybe real violence within our culture has cranked up the real or perceived violence within our police department. There's a belief that that's the way in which you protect and serve. And violence with other violence creates more violence. And while the numbers unarmed black men was actually, I think 2019 was actually 9 people that were killed. And obviously there've been several so far this year. I have enough black friends to tell me that, look, I understand your perspective on it. You don't understand what it's like to be black and feel like you're harassed by a police officer simply because you're black. You know what? I'm not black and I can completely understand that if that's the way that you're made to feel, especially you're not a criminal, you didn't do anything wrong, or maybe you're speeding or you had a taillight out or something like that, right? Like you shouldn't be made to feel that way, right? But using that as a springboard to, hey, 4th of July is a celebration of white supremacy. Now, again, that honestly is an uneducated comment. It just is. The 4th of July is a celebration of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men were created equal. Right? That's the Declaration of Independence. That's what the 4th of July celebrates. That's what we aim to be. And in many ways, we have gotten either there or very close to being there over the last 50 years as a country. Right? Like this idea that our country is coming up short is fair. If you feel like your country isn't doing enough, like you should ask, you know, ask not what your country can do, actually what you can do for your country. You should ask a lot of your country. You should continue to demand that your needs be met especially if you're throwing in the kitty with your tax money and you're raising your kids to be better citizens than you are, and you demand better public schools, especially with your hard-earned tax money. There's none of that is unreasonable. You should be allowed to be protected by the police department, but not harassed if you didn't do anything wrong. And even if you did do something wrong, the level of violence should not be, you know, like these are reasonable requests. But the idea that the 4th of July is a celebration of white supremacy, well, That's getting into the heart of the Constitution, where slaves were, black men were considered only 3/5 of a human being. That actually isn't the, but now we're getting into the weeds. I'm going to tell you, when I read this tweet, and I understand that the video that follows is James Earl Jones reading a piece from Frederick Douglass, who his life's work was to abolish slavery, and he was a brilliant, brilliant man. And keep in mind, it was 1852, I believe, is when it was written. So things have changed. You get this, we haven't changed. Like, that's just not, that's not, not only not fair and not true. It's not fair and it's not true. We have had a black president. We have champions in business who are black. We have champions of sport that are black. And have black people gotten to the level to which they believe they rightfully should be in American society? I would guess no. I would guess no. I can't speak. Again, I'm not black, but I think that is some of it because of years upon years of being suppressed in terms of the level of education? Yeah, that's true. But it can be pointed. You can be allowed to have a conversation that the railroads that were built across this country, a cross-country continental railroad that connected east and west, and I think it was like what Nebraska were connected in, those were Chinese immigrants that were essentially enslaved or indentured servants that were brought to this country. And there has been a level of financial achievement there. Like, you have to do some self-reflection. But the idea that we can't celebrate as collectively as one, the 4th of July, because the 4th of July is a celebration of white supremacy. One, it's uneducated and wrong. And two, what are we allowed to celebrate? Tell me. Help me. Like, and if I'm hiring somebody in the National Football League, which there's been this outcry to hire Colin Kaepernick. Like, this is case in point of Kaepernick 101, right? Where he was fading as a starter because of his skills and his leadership style. That is documented. Right? They change coaches, and I'm not going to sit here and argue with anybody who says Jim Tomsula was completely in over his head and no quarterback would have succeeded. That's fair. He had injuries that diminished some of his skills. His style of playing quarterback as a guy who can both run and throw is one where you're going to sustain injuries. We've seen it with Cam Newton. Right? Cam Newton wasn't out of the league for a couple of months and signed for less than $1 million because he wasn't awesome. He didn't have any protest. It wasn't because of his personality. It was because he's taken such a savage beating playing the position the way he plays the position that no one knows if he can throw a football anymore because he had two shoulder surgeries. And the last time we saw him throw, it wasn't good. And a guy who struggled with accuracy now really struggled with accuracy and some velocity issues. But when Colin Kaepernick was going to be signed by the Baltimore Ravens, his girlfriend put out a meme which likened the owner of the Ravens to the slave owner in Django Unchained. And I don't blame Steve Bisciotti for going like, no thanks. And now you're asking an NFL owner, like the Hunt family, where I've told you, like I think if there's a guy he could be a backup quarterback for, that would be the two guys to me, Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes. Both are guys that both have gotten hurt. They're superstars, so whoever their backup is, it's not going to be called into question. And they are playing for quarterback gurus. Bill O'Brien was a quarterback guru when he was first in New England and then at Penn State. And, of course, Andy Reid is an incredible quarterback guru, which would allow for Kaepernick to learn a different system and hone his skills if he wanted to ultimately get back to being a starting quarterback in the NFL. I think those are both reasonable. But you put out a tweet like that and you just cause people in the NFL to go like, I called 4th of July a celebration of white supremacy. How do I do that? How do I do that? Because most of you don't know me as a human being. The truth is, I'm like the least offended person of all time. I'm Jewish. I've heard every Jewish joke there is. It doesn't really offend me. I don't think you should say it because a lot of things that are said are, simply come from a place of not being educated, but some come from nasty stereotypes or whatever. I've heard all of them. It doesn't really bother me. I've heard the jokes about Notre Dame. I've heard the jokes about my shooting. I've heard the jokes about switching networks. I don't get offended. I don't. You know, life is a lot better when you can laugh at yourself. And I will crack jokes at myself from now until the day you cover me with dirt. So maybe I have friends that are black. I have friends that are white. I have friends that are mixed race. I have friends that are Armenian. I have friends that are Arab. I have friends that are hardcore, you know, Zionist Jews. I have all sorts of friends. And I'm a very reasonable person. But I will tell you that my dander gets up when I place that I think is pretty cool. And I've actually lived other places. I've lived in Russia. I've lived in Israel. I've lived in France. Lived in those places. And I come back here and I have great pride for the country we live in. That doesn't mean that you don't have the right to protest. That doesn't mean that you don't have the right to demand more of your country, your president, your police, of your teachers, of yourself. But you say that the day we celebrate our independence from England, in which we wrote down with some brilliant minds, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. And then you say that holiday, which should be celebrated by everybody, like the reason we have even a device like Twitter, we can have the freedom of speech and we have the freedom to kneel, is the independence we declared from England. All of those things are celebrated on the 4th of July. It's a feel-good holiday. And you do get to the point to where you tell us, based upon your remarks, I don't actually really want to play football. And maybe he doesn't have to anymore. It feels like that's how he goes. It's like, now I got the documentary, now making a bigger impact with the Nike thing. I'm the one that got blackballed. I'm better off being the guy that got blackballed than being the backup quarterback who nobody hears from anymore, which isn't a bad business play and isn't a bad leadership play. But it runs counter to the actual true narrative in that he wants to play football and people are keeping it out of him. Because I struggle to find an NFL owner that's going to look at that tweet and go, I want that on my team. We're starting to see some numbers in the Pat Mahomes new mega deal. Can you overpay Pat Mahomes right now? We'll discuss next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every day at this time, we like to play for you a portion of a previous show on Fox Sports Radio, or Fox Sports 1, we call it.
And now.
What does the Fox say?
This was Nick Wright earlier today. First things first, TV show on Fox Sports 1, talking about Cam Newton's status among the top five quarterbacks in the AFC.
For the 20th straight year, they are going to have in the AFC the best coach, one of, if not the best defense, and a top five quarterback. Like Patrick, Lamar, Deshaun, and then Cam. Right now he's the fourth best quarterback in the AFC. Who are you going to put ahead of him? Phillip Rivers? My guy Baker? Derek Carr? Ryan Tannehill? There's nobody. And somehow you guys, Wilds, you guys go from having... Yep. Maybe the worst quarterback situation in football to once again the best quarterback situation in the AFC East. All your javelin stuff that you were lying to America about, you can throw out the window. And you got a real living, breathing starting quarterback.
On paper, you do, if you go back a couple of years. What's interesting about it was he cut out Ben Roethlisberger. Right? Roethlisberger is coming off of Tommy John surgery. Previous to having Tommy John surgery, he threw for 5,000 yards 2 years ago. 2 years ago when Cam Newton really struggled because he had to have shoulder surgery. So, wait, if we're going to go back a couple years ago, that's one thing. By the way, if we go back 2 years ago, Phillip Rivers, a far better quarterback than Cam Newton. Now, look, Cam could be all rested up. He could be all healthy. And if things go right, like, look, he's a dynamic athlete. Dynamic. He's never been crazy accurate. He's not going to have a ton of time with the coaches in person, although he'll have plenty of time with them on Zoom. And he'll have time with wide receivers here throwing routes against air. But what we're doing this thing where we're doing dated information. I don't know what, I know that Nick doesn't think a ton of Sam Darnold, but Sam Darnold last year finished up the season 5-2, threw for 3,000 yards, and more than anything is only a couple years into his NFL career and hasn't yet been hurt. He's not coming off of an injury. He's coming off of mono. 2 years in, his numbers got progressively better from year one to year two, playing with marginal talent at best. You know, I'm not a huge Baker Mayfield guy, but it stands to reason that Baker Mayfield in year three should be pretty damn good, especially surrounded by other players. The last thing is this, that we've gone from a place where Tom Brady, who I would grant it's not peak Tom Brady, didn't have enough weapons, so he should leave, to Cam Newton's got plenty of weapons because he's Cam Newton, right? They don't have any tight end to speak of. Do you know, does anybody know who the Patriots' starting tight end is? Who was his favorite target for years in Carolina, especially after Steve Smith went away? Yeah, so Matt LaCoste is going to be your guy? He's no Greg Olsen. They do have Sony Michel. They have James White. They got Rex Burkhead. They even got Damian Harris. I love their running back room. I love Edelman. Sanu should be better than he was last year. N'Keal Harry couldn't be any worse. But line their guys up against anybody else and say, what are they? But the big thing is this. You're dealing with information on Cam Newton pretending like the Liz Frank injury, that's a badly broken foot where you're out most of the season. The shoulder surgery, which he's had too, like those don't exist. And they did happen. And it's what caused people to go like, yeah, I'm not in on that. I don't think he would have gotten as little on the open market. And the only reason the Patriots were able to pay him basically nothing is because they're the Patriots and he feels like he can win the spot. But you know, look, if I'm him, have you looked at the Patriots schedule? Have you checked it out? You know, you open up with Miami, team that beat him to end last year. Then they go to Seattle, Raiders at home, to Kansas City. They ain't beating Seattle in Seattle. They ain't beating Kansas City in Kansas City, even if Tom Brady was their quarterback. So I'm not convinced they have a top five quarterback in the AFC because we're going based upon information at least two, if not three or four years ago. Cam Newton hadn't been great since the Super Bowl. He's had splashes, but hadn't been great since the Super Bowl. We're doing 5 years ago. Like 5 years ago, we were on the iPhone 3 or something. I mean, just things changed massively. All right, a massive new contract for Pat Mahomes. I'm going to tell you why it makes total sense for the Chiefs and for Mahomes and why it has no effect on Dak Prescott. I'll explain next in the Doug Gottlieb Show.